what your identity is. I cannot be defeated. I am undefeated. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray that this place, Lord, whoever are present here, your people, Lord, and whoever is going to come, raise up the standard, Lord. Even as the enemy comes in like a flood, raise up the standard. Raise up a standard against the flood, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Hallelujah. Let your spirit flow in this place. Let the rivers of living water flow in this place, Lord. Hallelujah. Through whatever condition or whatever week your people had, and even as they come, revive your people. Lord, let your fire enter their hearts tonight. Word, I don't know how to put it across, but we ask the Holy Spirit to help us tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, what I want to speak on tonight is, or rather what God gave the word for tonight is, it's about altars. It's about altars. So I have already taught about altars. I took a sermon, a series on spiritual gates. Spiritual gates are actually altars. And I spoke in detail about altars. I explained many interpretation of the happenings in the Bible in those sermons. Maybe I will reiterate a few of those tonight. Okay. What is the altar that is made to God? The altar that is made for God to sacrifice on it towards Jehovah God, the maker of heaven and earth, is actually a mark of the ownership of the God of heaven over a certain territory. That is what an altar does. That is the general definition of the altar. Altars are generally the mark of the ownership of heaven, of God, over a territory. So when you create an altar, now the altar, first of all, is not an Old Testament concept. The altar is a mystery of the Spirit, which was referred to as altar in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's referred as the ministry of word and prayer. That is the building of altars in the New Testament. So whichever place you are fasting, you are praying, and you are hearing God, you are reading God's word, and you are doing that consistently, you are building an altar in that place. Okay? You are building an altar in that place. You know, I am not going to cover. God is taking us through a different line of revelation tonight about altars. I have covered how to build altars. It is through word, prayer, and fasting. It's not through placing physical stones in your bedroom. But if in your bedroom you are praying, you are waiting, you are fasting in that place, or not continuously, but every day you are going there, you are actually building up an altar. When that altar is being built up, and when you are offering service to God through that altar, and the altar is active, in active service, that means there is a mark of ownership of God over your house because of the existence of an altar in your house. Are we understanding? Before I start off, I want to tell you something. Men and women of the Spirit fight and prevail on the strength of the altars they have built unto the Lord. Men and women of the Spirit fight and they prevail on the strength of the altars they have built unto the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, people talk about the anointing. The devil can use the advantage of the same anointing that is upon you to kill you, to destroy you, to remove you. Anointing does not matter to the devil. You got to understand certain things. What matters is the first is the mystery, the wisdom of God resting upon a person. And second is the strength of the altars he has built unto the Lord. The person can prevail on the strength of the altars that the person has built unto the Lord. Are we understanding until now? Okay. Okay, let open your Bible to Psalm 50. Open your Bible to Psalm, the book of Psalm, chapter number 50. I think Verse number 5 and 6. Verse number 5 and 6. It says, gather my saints together to me. Not all the saints. Which saints? Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Gather my saints together to me. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Now, what is happening here? God is commanding to gather the saints. Not all the saints, but only those saints who have done what? Who have made a covenant. Through what? By offering a sacrifice. Offering a sacrifice is the existence of building altars. So those who have built up altars and are serving God at that altar actively, gather those saints to me. Why God wants to gather those saints to himself? Because God wants to execute judgment. God wants to execute his authority on the basis and through the medium of the altars which his saints have built. Hallelujah. Listen to me. This Jehovah God, though he is the Almighty God, all-knowing God, for him to penetrate into a certain family and execute his precepts, execute his word, execute his authority, execute his judgment. Let's take, for example, a certain family or a certain territory. He needs an altar to penetrate in that area to execute his will. And the altar on that is built by a saint, by a believer, by a child of God. Are we understanding? Stay with me. Listen to me very carefully. He needs an altar. If you know what, you say, we are Christian. We are going to the church, we are praying, but if you have not built an altar in your house, God cannot execute his judgment over your enemies because of the non-existence of an altar in your house. There needs to be an altar. The Bible says, gather the saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Then what? Let the heaven declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. So he is asking to gather the saints who have built altars and sacrificed on it to do what? To declare his judgment, to execute authority. That is why he wants to gather only those saints on the strength of the altars they have built and the sacrifices they have ordered. God is ready to release his judgment through the building of their altars. Stay with me. Now listen to me. I want to ask you a question. If God is all powerful and if his will is implemented throughout the earth, why did he wanted Pharaoh's permission to let the people of God leave Egypt? Why did he wanted Pharaoh's permission? Right, that is what the Bible says. Read Exodus. Afterwards, read Exodus carefully. God told Moses, go and ask Pharaoh's permission. He has to say yes for you to leave. Do you see the devil has captured the realms of the earth? Do you understand that? Do you understand that is why you and me are chosen? That through our lives and the altars we built, God is able to penetrate into the affairs of men. God is able to intervene into the affairs of the realm of the earth. Through the altars that the saints built, God is able to intervene in the affairs of nations. If there are no altars, he cannot do it. Amen. Are you understanding until now? So, though God is almighty, but still, he's going, he's telling Moses, see, if his will is executed all over the earth, automatically, He would say, it's my will for you to leave Egypt. I don't care about what Pharaoh says, leave Egypt. But he did not do it like this. He said, go and ask Pharaoh. Go and take his permission. Go and tell him, let my people, say, thus says the Lord, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh made his heart stubborn. So God, what he did is, he continued to strike Pharaoh again and again with the plagues so that he would say yes. The day after the killing of the firstborn in Egypt, when he said yes, then God said, now it's time for you to leave. That is your Bible. That is your Bible. So, listen to me. Altars are basically the altars to God. What did I say? Is the mark of God's ownership over a territory. That is the highest level of altars which are made to capture territories. But it starts off with altars in the family, like the mark of God's ownership over a certain family when you create an altar. Why? Listen to me. Why? Because when you come to Christ, you believed in Christ, but there are powers of darkness. There is the demonic priesthood of your ancestors still ruling over your family. And God is there. He loves you. That's why he saved your soul. He allowed the gospel to come to you. But now, for you and your family to get out of Egypt, you need to create an altar through which the God of heaven will be able to intervene in the affairs of your family and execute his judgments, execute his will, execute his authority through the existence of the altar you have built in your family. The same revelation applies for a territory. You see, God chose Abraham, and God, the Lord led Abraham. I spoke on the roadmap revelation of the altars that Abraham built. There are four altars that Abraham built in his lifetime. The first altar was at Shechem. The second altar was at Bethel. The third altar was at the Mamre terebinth trees, where the angels came and performed the promise of God for Abraham and Sarah. And that was the third altar. The fourth altar was on the mountain of Moriah. Hallelujah. That was the altar of the mark of ownership of God over Jerusalem. Mount Moriah is Jerusalem now, where Abraham built the altar. That is the most, what you call, controversial place in the whole world now that people are fighting for. Jerusalem. Why? Because God marked his ownership over that place. And that started off by Abraham building up an altar in Moriah, which was a mark of God's ownership over the territory of Moriah, which is Jerusalem, because of the altar of Abraham. And from there, the patriarch's journey and the mission, to fulfill the vision of God started for the people of Israel to occupy Jerusalem and for God to make Jerusalem his dwelling place. And throughout the Bible, you will see fights going on for that city of Jerusalem. Stay with me. Do you remember the last book of Samuel? Do you remember the last book of 2 Samuel, where the Bible says Satan instigated David to take a census? Do you know? And David took a census, accounting of how many people are there in Israel. And the Bible says after David counted numbers, God got angry with David and gave David three options of the punishment. You know that, right? Do you know why? You might think, people think, and people are trying to interpret that scripture saying, oh, David just numbered Israel. And the Bible says Satan instigated David to number Israel. Do you know that scripture? Let me take you there. Let me take you there. It's in 2 Samuel, the last chapter. What is the last chapter? 2 Samuel. Yes, 2 Samuel, chapter number 24, verse number 1. Okay. Again, the anger of the Lord was arose against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, "Go, number Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab, commander of the army who was with him, "Now go throughout all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and count the people, that I may know the number of the people." In some version, it says Satan instigated David. But what was the sin in numbering Israel? Can you ponder what was the sin? And God got angry for David numbered Israel. What was Satan trying to do? I think it's also the parallel verse is also in the book of Chronicles. Okay, we don't have time to go there. In Chronicles also it's there. And so what was the sin? The sin was the mockery of the altar that Abraham has built in Jerusalem. Okay, listen to me. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. Here is the altar that Abraham built unto the Lord. Okay, he was going to sacrifice Isaac. You know the story. But the angel stopped Abraham and said, and he found a ram that was caught in the thicket behind him when he saw up. Okay, let not go into all those things. But Abraham say, in verse number 14, it says, Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will," this is important, "multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies." What is the promise on that altar? The promise is your descendants will be innumerable that cannot be numbered. But Satan tried to abolish the promise of the altar by making David number Israel. Are you understanding that? So his sin was he participated in the activity of making a mockery of the law of the altar. That is why he was led again to what? David was led to the place of Arauna to build up an altar again there. Remember that? I am not going there. Read 2 Samuel 24. David was led to again build up an altar in the house of Arauna. And Arauna said, "You are the king, you can take my property and equipments to build the altar." But David said, "No, I will take it at a cost. I have to offer to the Lord at the cost because I have sinned against the Lord." So he reestablished that altar and sacrificed on the altar. Are you understanding what are altars? Hallelujah. Can you see when you build an altar, the power of that altar will fight your enemies even when you have left the earth for your children, for your descendants? That is the power of an altar that you build. The altar was built so many years ago by Abraham, but yet when someone is trying to make a mockery and come against the law of the altar, that is, the descendants of Abraham will be numerous. God comes to fight on the basis and on the strength of the altar that Abraham built unto the Lord. Wow. Are we understanding that now? That is an altar. That is an altar. And when you built an altar, did I explain to you, right? Jacob, he was going to Laban for a wife. On the way, it was night and he had to rest. And he took a stone and he slept on that stone. Little that he knew that that is the same place his grandfather built an altar that was Luz, which is Bethel, the second altar that the grandfather Abraham built. He took a stone and he slept. Little did he know that it was the same stone that the grandfather used to build the altar. And because he slept on the stone, and that altar initiated him into the realms of heaven, and he saw the ladder of God, and he saw the angels ascending and descending. That is the power of altar. The grandfather built the altar in the place, and now the grandson is able to encounter God on the strength of the altar the grandfather had built. If you create how powerful if you create an altar in your bedroom, in your house, even after you leave the earth, the altar will still work. Because why? You made covenants. Gather to me the saints of God. What does the Bible say? God said, gather to me those saints who have made a covenant with me through a sacrifice on that altar. Hallelujah. Altars are powerful. Amen. Are we understanding? Even now, when you visit Israel and go to those historic places, many people get revelation. Many people, you know, they have testimonies. I've heard them. Where those ancient patriarchs have built altars in those physical places. But you don't have to go to Israel. You are a saint of God, and you yourself can build an altar. Are we understanding? Okay. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. So, what did I say? Men and women of the Spirit fight and prevail on the strength of the altars they have built unto the Lord. So, let me start off what God wants to speak. So, the first revelation, okay, just write down the revelation, and then we will ponder through the scripture and go deep into it. Write it down. Altars are like womb that conceive and give birth to God's control and authority over a territory. What? Altars are like womb that conceive and give birth to God's control and authority over a territory. Okay. So when you build an altar, it's like a womb of a woman that conceives, and then when the time comes, it gives birth to what? To God's authority, to God's control, execution of his will and judgment over a territory or even over a family. Second point, after it conceives and gives birth, what happens? And that is where God, when God was speaking to me, that is where God wanted me to concentrate more, on the second point. The second point is, after the conception and birth, the second revelation is, the altar shifts the authority of the territory from the gates of the territory to God and to the authority of heaven. When an altar is built, I will explain you. Stay with me. When an altar is built, and now it conceives and gives birth to God's will, God's power, what it does is there is a shift of authority. For example, the authority, the political picture of the United States of America is there in the White House, the Washington DC, the White House. Okay, White House. Let's say for example, I'm giving you an example to explain. Someone there in Florida builds another house like the White House, proclaims himself to be the president, and gathers people and starts to execute authority, and all the authority is shifted from the White House to that of in Florida, to that house. Are you understanding the shift of authority? So when you create an altar, for example, I'm not going to territories. Let me talk about families first. Let me talk about families first. You accepted Jesus by the grace of God. God loves you. God cares for you. But still, your family and your life is under those ancestral demonic influence. Things are not going on good because there is no existence of the altar. And there are limits around your family like a circle. And there are gates on which demonic gatekeepers are sitting and keeping your family in bondage, like keeping your family in Egypt. And you are inside the circle, but staying inside the demonic circle, when you set up an altar, it conceives the first revelation, it conceives the power, the authority of God through the altar you created in inside the circle. Then as soon as the altar starts to work, what happens is there is a shift of the authority. The gatekeepers, the demons on the circle were ruling you and having authority on your life. Their authority is consumed by the authority of the altar. Now, no longer the limitation, but the power of God through the altar you built in your family starts to rule over your family and over your life. And thus, you arise as a savior in your family to break the family limitations. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? So that is the meaning of the second revelation. That is the meaning of second revelation. That is what Elijah did. He built an altar to the Lord. Remember, the powers of Baal and Ashtoreth were ruling. Jezebel was ruling. When he built the altar of the Lord, there was a shift of power. The fire came. As soon as the fire came, he said, "Oh, bring all those goons, those false prophets, execute them." Because the power of the altar shifted the authority from the gatekeepers of the territory to that of God through the medium of the altar. Hallelujah. Okay. So, listen to me. It's not easy. It's not easy. It sounds easy. It's not easy. Listen to me. The process is difficult. But listen to me. The second thing that I said, that there is a shift of authority from that of the gatekeepers of the territory to that of the altar you built unto the Lord. So, in the process of the shift of, see, the gatekeepers were ruling over your family from so many centuries, not even decades, from so many centuries, they were ruling over your family. Will they so easily submit to the altar? No. In the process of the shifting of authority, there comes the conflicts. The conflicts and the resistance that the gatekeepers and the demons, spirits sitting on the limitation, keeping you in bondage. As soon as, this is what God wanted me to concentrate on, as soon as you set up an altar, you will not have victory immediately because there will be a process of, and the process is warfare, is a fight, is a conflict that you will start to attract. You will start to attract attacks. You will start to attract conflict. You will start to attract warfare because from so many years, there was no one in your family who set up an altar, and the demons, every one of them, were ruling calmly and with all comfort and convenience. But now, when you arose and you set up an altar, and the power of that altar, the power of God, starts to destroy them, they will offer resistance to you. You will start to attract attacks. When you create altars, you will be heavily attacked. You will be heavily attacked. Amen. Are we understanding until now? You will be heavily attacked. Oh, God, hallelujah. Listen to me. As soon as a Christian understands he or she is called, the Holy Spirit introduces priesthood and building of altars to that new Christian. Listen to me. Listen to me. I know the ways of God. When a new believer comes into the kingdom, the new believer has to be introduced to prayer, to spiritual warfare, to building of altars. Because the new believer has to be introduced saying that you are called to be a priest. You know, some brothers say, you know what, Apostle Raul, you know, you are called to do those things. I am not called. I am just called to come to the church and enjoy the church. No. If you call yourself a Christian, you are called to the primary calling to be a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. And people are not building altars because the devil is very successful to manipulate the evangelism structure of the church of God. The evangelism structure of the church of God is receive Christ. Oh, you received salvation. Enjoy your life. Oh, you know what? Do. No, 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 no. You received Christ. The battle has started. I want you to introduce to a training of priesthood, of prayer, of the word, because you are called to be a priest even as you have accepted Christ. Let me show you that from the scripture. The best example that I can find in the scripture is from that of Apostle Paul. Let's go there in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. In the book of Acts, chapter number 9, let's start from verse number five. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." That shows us the interest of Saul, who later was called Paul, that as soon as he encountered Christ, he wanted to do something for the Lord. What I have to do, Lord? Why you have calling me? Why did you encounter me? Because the encounter was terrible to his flesh. He was blinded. Was terrible. He was terrified and he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Okay, let's go ahead. Verse number 7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now, neither ate nor drank, that signifies he was fasting and praying. We will see that in the next scripture. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is doing what? He is praying." What he was doing? As soon as he encountered Christ, what he was doing? He was, though he became blind, he could not see, but he said, "I will fast and pray." That is the reason why Paul rose in the kingdom of God so fast. Because he understood as a believer, he was a new believer, fresh believer, very fresh, just saved after the encounter. But he realized one thing. As soon as a believer is saved, the first thing the believer should know that he is called. And Paul realized that he is called. And when a believer, listen to me, when a believer is convicted of the revelation that I am called, immediately the Holy Spirit comes and introduces that believer to build altars. Do you understand now? Hallelujah. Now, another revelation. I did not have plans, but let me share that revelation about Damascus. About Damascus. Why was Jesus able to encounter Paul in that way in Damascus? Why? Why not before that? Why not in any other place? Why in Damascus? You will say, "Apostle Raul, it is the will of God." No, there is a revelation. There is a revelation. Because Damascus had an existence of the altar built by Ananias And Ananias was the gatekeeper of the altar and was guarding the territory of Damascus. That's why Ananias was in his house, but staying in his house, God told him, there is certain person coming to the territory, has come to the territory. His name is Saul. Why? Because in the realms of the spirit, he was the gatekeeper of Damascus. Oh God, hallelujah. That's why Jesus had a hold over Damascus because of the altar of Ananias. Ananias was a powerful man of God. You don't know that. I want to introduce him to you now today. We only know Ananias was, you know, I saw a film on Apostle Paul. I saw a film. And in that, they in the movie, they were showing Ananias as a wayward creature with teeth outside and all messy look and all those. Ananias was a powerful man of God. He had an altar built in Damascus through which the God of heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, was ruling Damascus. Imagine he was taking letters to persecute, to arrest the church of Damascus, but he could not because there is an altar there. And as soon as the enemy enters through the territory, God tells the guardian of the altar of God, there is someone entered your territory. But I blinded him. Go to him now and tell him he is chosen. He is fasting and praying. Go to him. Hallelujah. That is the power of altar. Yes. That is the reason that Jesus was able to encounter Saul in Damascus and not in any other city, because Damascus had a man who built an altar there. Are we understanding now? Okay, so listen to me. Saul, he later became Paul. Saul was fasting and praying as soon as he realized he was called. I'm telling you, I walked with God. Not for a long time, but in the time I have walked with God, I know God and I know his ways. That as soon as a believer realizes that he is called, God introduces the believer to the ministry of prayer, fasting and word. Why? To build an altar. God introduced, I was not an apostle. I was an intercessor, normal intercessor when I started off with God. To come, okay, let's not go into the offices of the kingdom. But when you start off with God and when you realize by the revelation, by the conviction, I am called, I want to do something for God. I am telling you, I know him. God will not tell you, okay, you want to do something for me? Take the guitar and learn the guitar. No, he will not tell you that. He will tell you to build altars. He will introduce you to the primary calling of priesthood. As soon as you are called. Are we understanding? If you still don't believe, let's look at another example in the Bible. Luke chapter number 4. And you have to believe this one because this is about Jesus. Luke chapter number 4. Okay. Before chapter number 4, chapter number 3, Luke chapter number 3, verse number 21 to 23, it says, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the anointing. For what? For serving God, for ministry. As soon as he was called, Luke chapter number, then there is the then there is the genealogy of Jesus and all those things. Then Luke chapter number 4, verse number 1, it says, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the anointing for the calling, for the service. What happened? Returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to do what? Fasting and praying. To build an altar. As soon as he built the altar, what happened? After 40 days, the devil came. That is what I revealed to you. The second is, it will attract temptation. It will attract attacks. As soon as you build. You see this example? So this is what the Holy Spirit taught me. He taught me that as soon as the believer, not every believer, but the believer who realizes and accepts that I am called, the Holy Spirit will come and push the believer to fast and pray and for the reading and the meditation of the word, and push the believer to start building altars, because altars are the medium through which God can manifest his power in the life and the family, and then use the believer on territorial levels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding until now? Okay. So these, okay. Another verse, that everyone is called to be a priest. Everyone is called to the primary calling to become an intercessor. In 1 Peter chapter number 2. First Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9. But you are chosen generation, a royal what? Priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are chosen generation for what? To become a royal priesthood. So every believer, when he realizes that he is called, the Holy Spirit pushes the believer or leads the believer to build altars. That is the area of evangelism that the devil has successfully manipulated the evangelism structure of the church. Because there are very few evangelists, organization or churches, that they lead new believer to the building of altars. When you become saved in a church, the pastor will say, you are a new believer, let me not introduce you to prayer. You know what you need to do? Come in the media team and do media. And then the church takes the believer, puts them in the media or in the guitar or whatever, and Monday to Friday, maybe 2 days, 3 days a week, they are so occupied in their practice that they don't have any time to realize they need to build an altar unto the Lord. The church occupied people, youth, in the youth meetings. Oh, you know what? Apostle Rao, let's do a youth meeting. And in this youth meeting, we will invite Justin Bieber, because the young generation like Justin Bieber. We will invite Justin Bieber. We will have coffee for them. We will have a gala time for them. We will have a discussion with Justin Bieber one-on-one. It matters nothing. You are not doing business of heaven. You are doing business in the flesh. Young people are not introduced to the idea of priesthood, that is, you know, young man, you need to build an altar, because these devils are mad against you because you accepted Christ. There needs to be an existence of the altar for God to intervene in the affairs of your life and family now. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding that? Are we understanding that? My house shall be called a house of prayer. Why? The building of altars. Every person needs to learn to build altars. When you are successful with the altar of your family, God will send you to territories. Once I was fasting in my house and I built altar. I was serving at the altar. While serving at the altar in my house, years back, 5-6 years back, I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw a huge thermal power plant. I saw a huge thermal power plant. I saw exactly how many cylinders are there emitting that gas and all those things. You know, all those things I saw. I think it is a thermal power plant. Forgive me if I am naming it wrong scientifically, but it looked like a thermal power plant. Then I said, Lord, what do you want? What is this place? What do you want me to do? When I started to pray, I heard a voice in my spiritual ears, Korba, Korba. I said, what is Korba? Korba, Korba, Korba. Then when I looked up, When I started to pray, I saw a design of a certain state of India. And I saw the blood of Jesus washing that state of India. A certain state, like in the map. And then I realized it was a certain state called Chhattisgarh. And then when I looked up, there is a place called Korba there. Then after that, I started to look up. In that Korba, there is a place, small place called Jamnipali, which had the exact thermal power plant that I saw in the vision. I started to ask the Lord, Lord, why you are showing me this? Do you want me to pray? But the Lord told me, I want you to go there and set up an altar. So I booked my tickets and I went there I booked a hotel room and I fasted and prayed 2 days. When I fasted and prayed on the second day, God said, there is a church nearby. Write a letter to the pastor and go to that church. Because the altar that I was building was connected to the freedom of that church, which was so dry. I never knew the church. When I walked about, and when I walked for around 4 or 5 kilometers, I found the church. It was a traditional church. And I asked the gardener of the church, and he said, this is the time. I went there for the service. Go, hallelujah. Are we understanding? Altars. Altars, altars. Altars are powerful. Okay. So let's go ahead. What did I say the first revelation? The altar are like womb that conceive and give birth to God's control and authority over a territory. And when that starts to happen, the territorial spirit and the gatekeepers are attracted to attack you, because the altar starts to diminish and is starting to overpower them. So you start to attract attacks. Okay. So the next point I want to come on is every move of God on the face of the earth is birthed by an altar. Every move of God on the face of the earth is birthed by an altar. Okay. Now I want to put in place the two revelations that I spoke. The first revelation was that altars are like womb that conceive and give birth to God's control and authority over a territory. And when that happens, there is a shift of authority from the territorial powers to the altar of God, to the God of heaven. And when there is a shift, there is the attraction of heavy attacks over the priesthood that is conducting the service of the altar. Okay, so I want to put in place, as per the scripture, these 3 points of revelation. Let's start off with the birth of Jesus. How Jesus was born. Was Jesus born automatically, or was there an intercessor praying for the coming of redemption to Israel? There was an intercessor right in the temple of Jerusalem that created an altar and was serving there at the altar for around, from the time she became a widow, and her age was around 80. Let's see, 81, I forgot. Let's go in the scripture to know that. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 36. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with what? Fasting and praying night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She was praying for the redemption of Jerusalem with the altar. And the power of the altar that consistently she was serving at the altar, we don't know. Her age was 84. And the Bible says after she became a widow, for just married for 7 years, maybe from 50, 60 years, she was serving at the altar. And the power of the altar was able to bring the Christ and the reign of Christ, the birth of Christ in Jerusalem. Okay? Are we understanding that? This is the first expounding on the scripture through which I want to explain the 3 revelation. So you see this, she served at the altar, and the altar conceived and gave birth to the Savior in Jerusalem. It was through the altar. It was through her waiting. If you create an altar, the altar can be like a very big and strong magnet that can attract the will and the purposes of God from heaven to earth. That is what happened. It was the will of God for Jesus to come his son to come and die for the sins of the world. And what attracted him to the earth? An altar. Things, listen to me, if you think things will happen automatically, it will not happen automatically. There needs to be existence of altars for those promises to be attracted in your life. Okay? Okay. That is the, that defines the first revelation I gave you. It gave birth, the altar gave birth to the move of God, to the will of God. Then let's go to Matthew's chapter number 2. What happened when Jesus was going to be born? When the altar was going to birth? It already conceived. It is going to give birth. What happened then? In Matthew's chapter number 2. Verse number 1. Now after Jesus was born. Okay. In Bethlehem of Judea. In the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Okay, let's skip verse 6, verse number 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Okay, then they worshipped Christ. Verse number 11. Let's skip that. Verse number 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That brings us to the second revelation. As soon as the altar gives birth to the power of God, to the will of God, the territorial power, the King Herod signifies the gatekeeper of Jerusalem. He carried the spirit of the snake. Remember Moses, when he was supposed to be born, Pharaoh ordered the killing of the babies, the male babies. These are demonic gatekeepers. You know, even the birth of Moses was the birthing through the altar that Abraham built at the command of the Lord. We will come to that. But here is, whenever, see, listen to me. Don't be discouraged when heavy attacks come to you. When heavy attacks come to you, it's a sign that you were successful in building your altar. Because your altar attract, if attacks did not come, that means you have to ponder, am I really building? But if attacks came, it's a sign that your altar is built. Amen. You should rejoice. Attacks came, hallelujah. That means the devil is afraid. He's coming for me now. He's coming for my children now. The devil is afraid. That's why he's coming. Hallelujah. It's a sign. If you have the wisdom of God, the situations cannot terrify you with fear. You will be in the spirit, walking in power every moment of your life, because you carry a wisdom that is not of the world. And people will say, sister, you are attacked. Oh, don't worry. I know I am victorious because my altar is successful. That's why that you, how are you understanding the wisdom of God in which you can operate? Hallelujah. That is how Elisha operated. The servant said, master, we will die. Alas, it's our end. He said, don't worry. Because he was a man of the spirit. Men and women of the spirit fight and prevail at the strength of the altars that they have built unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when attacks come, you have to rejoice when you are attacked. I am telling you. You have to rejoice because your altar was successful in birthing God's power. And the Bible says, as soon as Jesus was born, Herod was troubled, Jerusalem was troubled, the spirits, the gatekeepers, the territorial demons were troubled. And they started to, Herod ordered killing of the babies. So, with the understanding of this scripture, we understand the three steps or the revelations. That first, the altar of this intercessor. There were other intercessors like Simeon also, but I took Anna, the intercessor who built an altar that attracted the will of God. When the will of God was birthed, the second revelation, it brought conflicts. Why? Why Herod was troubled, tell me. Because Herod knew the king of Jews will shift my authority to himself. I will lose my authority, so let me kill him before, at the time, even as he is a child. Because Herod was troubled. The spirits know when the altar gives birth to Jesus in your life, in your family. They know the authority is going to shift to Jesus now, and Jesus is going to control you. They will lose control, so they start to attack. Are we understanding now? Listen to me. Listen to me. Let me again take you to another scripture expounding on the three revelation. Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter number 15. And verse number. Genesis chapter number 15. Okay. Verse number 6. I'm reading it quickly. Okay. And he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I, the Lord, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old lamb, a ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. How will I inherit the land? What God told? In other words, build an altar and sacrifice. Okay? So let's skip all those things. There is a revelation of the heifer, of the ram, but I cannot go into those things. Those are detailed revelation. Maybe I will take it some other day. Verse number 12. Let's jump to verse number 12. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep. So he did the altar, he did the sacrifice and kept it there. After that, verse number 12. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possession. This was the promise at the altar Abraham built unto the Lord for the inheritance of the land of Canaan. And the covenant of the altar was they will end up in a land where they will serve the people, the nation, 400 years. But after 400 years, I will judge the nation. They will come out with great possession. So, altars operate in seasons and in timelines as per the covenant of the altar. As soon as Israel lived up to 400, they were going close to the timeline of 400 years. There had to be a birth of a savior who will save Israel because the law of the altar had to be fulfilled. That is why Moses was born for such a time as this, because he was an answer to the altar of an ancient saint. Are we understanding? You don't even know your altar. You think, oh, nothing is happening, but your altar that you created is giving birth to mighty prophets in nations of the world. Are we understanding? Like Jesus, like Moses. If Abraham would not have sacrificed and made an altar, the promise of the deliverer for Israel from Egypt wouldn't had come. So as soon as the 400-year timeline was going to be approached, the altar gave birth to the Savior. And that brings us to the second revelation. This snake, that is Pharaoh, sensed that. Remember second revelation, territorial shift? There is the will of God birthed through an altar. So my power is going to be taken over by someone. And that's why he ordered Shipra and Puah, the midwives, to kill the babies. But they feared God. They did not kill the babies. So the army of Egypt started to kill the babies. But Moses was saved because he was the conception and the birthing element of the altar of Abraham, who would take Israel out of Egypt. Hallelujah. So that again fulfills the three revelations of the altar that I gave you. The altars are like womb that conceive and give birth to the authority, to the will of God. And secondly, when it is birthed, it shifts the territorial power to that of God, and that to the authority of heaven. And when that happened, that is a big conflict. That is what God wanted me to teach tonight. And I believe many people are going through attacks, even when you are praying. But I am telling you, it's a sign that your altar has birthed God's power. Hallelujah. It's a sign. And God says in the book of Psalm, gather to me all the saints who have made a covenant with me through a sacrifice. For I am going to release my judgment and my will through the altars that they have made. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lead your people tonight. Lead your people tonight. Hallelujah. Let them look at the situation through the eyes of the Spirit and through the perspective of the Spirit, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Lo rabanto sebereka jambraba taraban sokrobotorobo. Layam brandorobo sial drabara. Continue to serve at the altar of God. Continue to serve at the altar of God. Continue to build the altar of God. Hallelujah. Re prabola sialtra, because there is a shift of authority coming in your life. Yes, the demonic spirits that controlled you, that circled you around and kept you under their limitations, are losing their power. In Jesus' name, God is releasing a shift of authority in your life. God is releasing a shift of authority in your life. Hallelujah. Darabo. And that's why, you know, we will sing in the middle of the storm, because we know there is a shift of authority. Hallelujah. We will roar praises to God. Because we know there is a shift of authority, we will sing hallelujah in the presence of the enemies. Because we know the enemy is defeated. Hallelujah. Because the altar has been built and the authority is getting shifted in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Rebra Sokotia, those people who did not knew about this, I want to encourage you and introduce you tonight that you are called as a priest unto the Lord. Start to pray and seek the Lord. Even you are called. I want to bring you the revelation that the Spirit of God wants to give you, that you are called. You are not called just to sit in the church and play some guitar or do some media work, but you are called to build altar unto the Lord. You are called to sacrifice unto the Lord. Hallelujah, that through you, God can execute his will in your family. Through you, God can execute his will in territories and take over territories. I am telling you, people of God, we have saved souls from many centuries, but this is the time God wants to overtake territories all at once in the name of Jesus Christ. He wants to show his glory, oh, to the nations of the earth, to the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of the small attacks, but when you are tired and wearied with running with men. How will you run with horses, says the Lord? How you will compete with chariots, says the Lord? Arise, man of God. Arise, woman of God. Because God has called you to capture nations for his name. And he will give you the power. Hallelujah. At the word and the utterance that God gives you in your mouth, I am telling you, pharaohs will bow down to you. Pharaohs will submit to you. Hallelujah. They will submit to the will of God. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare over every pharaoh that in the name of Jesus Christ, their knees will bow to the name of Jesus Christ, Lord over all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are Lord over all the earth. 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 Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, hi, Adonai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Re bro bolo, is Ralston there with the guitar? Are you available? I want you, if you are available, sing that song Adonai on A minor. Look up that song quickly and let us sing that song as a declaration, as a prophecy. Adonai by Paul Wilbur. Let's sing that song. Rebo Seketi Yara Brahma. Rebrebe Siya. Rebrobo Shelterebe. You can take a few minutes to be ready if you are there. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. He is Lord over all the earth. Hallelujah. Jerusalem is waiting to see him, I am telling you. Oh, Yara Bro Semprebele. It's on a minor chord, A minor or so.
Yes.
Yes. You can take some time and then tell me when you are ready. We will sing that song. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, God wants to take complete control of your family. He wants to be Lord over your life. He wants to be Lord over your family. He even wants to be Lord over your territory. But are you ready to build altars to him? Are you ready to build altars to him? Hallelujah. Abraham built altars and the blessings upon Abraham's life flew to his descendants. Oh, darabo sekete rebentre bentero. You will leave the earth, but the anointing, the work that you did for the Lord will last forever. Is going to last forever. Hey, pranzo krobo le siyan taraba. Re brebe. I am telling you, when I started off with God, I did not go to places to go on the pulpit with the mic. I went to certain cities and villages to go there and to set up altars. I went to cities and villages of India to go there and set up altars. And I know by faith, you know, by preaching in a crusade, I can preach at a moment of time to 100 people, 200 people and leave. But when now I have set up altars in those cities and villages, whoever goes by the place, they will encounter Jesus because of the existence of the altar that I set up in those places. Hallelujah. It's a long lasting evangelism. That is building of altars. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready?
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's sing that song.
The wisdom and power, the clothed bed on her and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts from a conquering king. And every eye will say, your glory fills the sky. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to the Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to the Lord Most High. Adonai, with your wisdom and power, clothed with honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts, come, O conquering King. Every eye will see your glory fill the sky. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to the Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God. Every tongue will cry, Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to the Lord Most High.
Jerusalem, wait, sing that verse. You know, we have to sing the lyrics because there is power, there is something happening in the realms of the spirit even as we are singing that. Your Jerusalem waits.
Jerusalem waits. Waits is lifted on high. You're the beautiful gates, long to see you arrive. Your Jerusalem waits. Lifted on high, you're the beautiful gates, long to see you arise. When all of Zion sing, Baruch Abba B'Shem, Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to the Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Your Jerusalem raised, praises lifted on high. You're the beautiful gates, long to see you arise. Your Jerusalem raised, praises lifted on high. You're the beautiful gates, long to see you arrive. When all of Zion sings, Baruch Abba B'Shem, Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to the Lord. Our God, every tongue will cry, Adonai, Adonai.
Hallelujah. Even as we welcome the King of Glory, we are the spiritual Jerusalem. We are the Zion people of God. And even as we sing, hallelujah, we are awaiting, we are welcoming him. I see God fighting demonic spirits. I see the angels of God fighting principalities. Oh, I see a tree. I see a certain big demonic tree. And inside the tree, I see cars, I see houses, I see certificates, I see so many things inside the tree. And the Lord is saying that tree was holding the destinies of people in that place. And that tree be uprooted and destinies be released. In Jesus' name, certificates be released, promotions be released. Oh Lord, let the wealth of the Gentiles be released into the accounts of the righteous. In the name of Jesus Christ. beti yara bara mantro. La, and then I see an animal. I don't know what to name that animal, a weird animal wearing the crown of the king. But the crowns are taken off from the wicked principalities, for God is taking control. Hallelujah. Even as we are building this altar in this place, in the name of Jesus Christ, God is taking control in your life. God is taking control over territories in the name of Jesus. This is the time to recapture the territories of God and bring the kingdom of God into the nations of the world, people of God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Prale dom prakazi. Yem prodro sakravo le karabanda. Hallelujah. Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. Oh, Jerusalem awaits for you. Praise is lifted on high, Lord. You're the beautiful gates. Hallelujah. Lord, long to see you arise. And we all of Zion sing, Lord. Hallelujah. Baruch Abba Abishem. Hallelujah. Adonai. Hallelujah. Declare you, Lord. I decree and declare you, Lord, over every person. I declare your lordship over their life and over their family, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. I declare your lordship over the nations of the earth, Lord, over America, over Canada, over India, over Pakistan, Lord. Lord, all the nations that are here, Kenya, Nigeria, Lord, the continent of Africa, the continent of Asia, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, all the nations of the earth, we declare your lordship over them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We want to thank you once again. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask, Lord, amen. Let's all say amen to the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God bless you.